Coming up today on A Daily Walk.
From time to time, we hear in the news of our men and women serving in harm's way who have been captured, taken behind enemy lines. And then we hear of others who assemble teams and they plan rescue missions to deliver them out of the clutches of the enemy. And in a real sense, guys, in this spiritual conflict, in this spiritual war that we're in, it's as if we are rushing into a fortress known as the kingdom of darkness, and we are rescuing people from the clutches of the devil. And we are opening their eyes to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they might receive the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in Christ.
Calvary South OC presents A Daily Walk with Pastor John Randall. We hear a lot about joy here during the Christmas season, but where is joy found? That's the question before us today. You can see it on the faces of so many we encounter. Worry and anxiety has flooded people's hearts. Today on A Daily Walk, we'll discover where real and lasting joy can be found, even in the midst of a world full of turmoil. Here's Pastor John Randall in Luke chapter 10.
Luke chapter 10, and I want to draw your attention to verse 17 as we consider together where joy is found. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. As we begin our time this morning in the Word, I want to start out with a couple of questions for you to consider in your own mind. What is it in this life that brings a smile to your face? What causes you to be overcome with elation and delight? What is it that makes you truly happy? No doubt many of the things that flood your mind when that question is raised, and whatever it is that comes to your mind, is a revelation of what you truly value and what to you is truly important. But I suppose we would also ask the question, well, what is happiness anyway? In addition to that, what is joy? Are they the same thing, happiness and joy? So often happiness can be intricately woven into the fabric of our circumstances, of our feelings, our emotions, our financial position, our physical health, our vacation destination, our relationship status. I am happy, you might say, when everything's going well for me. I am happy when my car is running. I am happy when gas prices are below $5. When my bills are paid on time. When I don't have a headache. When my kids do their homework without being asked. Oh, happy days are here. Joy, on the other hand, is something that the Bible seems to indicate is more than happiness. In James chapter 1, we are exhorted, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith is producing something within you. It's producing perseverance and character hope. It seems to be independent of circumstances, therefore. One person defined joy in this way. Joy is an abiding sense of happiness, and it provides hope even in the darkest of times. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, the Apostle Paul tells us that joy is a byproduct of the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. Joy is something that the Spirit of God produces in the life of the child of God. And I believe that joy has its foundation in the truth of God's word and the reality of God's work. What I know concerning the Word of God and the promises that are found there for me, and what I know by experience concerning what Jesus has done for me in the work on the cross, provides me with a great sense of assurance, of peace, of hope, and certainly of joy. Here before us, we have a marvelous passage in Scripture that is unique to the Gospel of Luke. For Luke alone refers to the Lord Jesus rejoicing in the Spirit. Now, this is interesting because we know from Old Testament prophetic scripture concerning Jesus that he is referred to as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we find his grief and sorrow manifested at various times within his ministry. For example, at the tomb of Lazarus, you read of the sorrow of Jesus as he wept over the death of his friend. When Jesus was traveling down the road to Jerusalem prior to his death, he looked over the city of Jerusalem that was missing their opportunity to recognize him as the Messiah, and he wept over them, knowing that their house would be left unto them desolate. As Jesus drew nearer the cross, the gospel records that Jesus was filled with sorrow, overcome with grief. As he hung upon the cross, bearing the sins of the world, his sorrow certainly was verbalized when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? We know much of the sorrow of Jesus, but the Bible also speaks of the joy of Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Jesus said, I say to you likewise in Luke 15, that there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Jesus in John 17 was praying for his disciples, and he said, but now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in them. But even with these references to the joy of Jesus, Luke alone records the personal joy of Jesus in the Holy Spirit. And this morning, I want to consider just a couple of things concerning where it is that joy is found. Number one, joy is found in serving the Lord. Look at verse 17. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. You may recall from our study last week that Jesus informed his disciples about a need. He said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest field. And I believe when he said that, they actually prayed about it. And 70, at least 70 of them found out they were the answer to their own prayers. And then Jesus sent those 70 out into the harvest field. But it was a incredible step of faith for them to take. Keep in mind all of the preliminary insight that Jesus gave them into the short-term mission trip that they were going to go on. First of all, he told them, hey, listen, when you go out, I'm sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Not even grown sheep, baby sheep in the midst of wolves. That's a frightening picture because wolves eat sheep for breakfast. That is a staple in their diet. It's dangerous. But secondly, Jesus said, when you go out, you're going to be sent out without provisions. You're going to have to trust me. Well, where are we going to stay? Don't worry, whatever town you go to and they let you stay there, just stay there. Well, what are we going to eat? Well, whatever they feed you, just make sure you eat it and bless God and thank him for it. I mean, no provision, not necessarily any protection in the midst of wolves. Then he tells them about rejection. Oh, one more thing I want to tell you. When you go out, a lot of people aren't going to be excited about you being there. They're going to reject you. And when they do, just move on to the next town. It'll be fine. You're going to be rejected. You're going to have a rough time finding provision. You're going to be in the midst of wolves. Go for it. You come to realize that this wasn't going to be an easy mission trip. This would be a difficult journey, that there was a cost, as it were, attached to this step of faith that they were taking. And yet they were willing to go forward. And when they returned from serving the Lord, it says they were filled with joy over the fact that even the demons were subject to them. Now, please note that emphasis, even the demons are subject to them, because when Jesus commissioned the 70 to go out and to preach the kingdom of God, he didn't say anything about casting out demons as he did when he sent out the 12 in Luke chapter 9. So in other words, when they are out serving the Lord, the work that was done, listen, exceeded their expectation. It exceeded their expectation. The Lord did things through them that they did not expect him to do. He used them in ways that they did not plan to be used. He used their strengths. He probably used their weaknesses. They had power to do what they would normally not be able to do. Guys, listen carefully. The truth of the matter is, when you are serving the Lord and God is working through you, he always exceeds your expectations. That's what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you could ask or think. There is such a tremendous joy that comes from serving the Lord. You get to experience God working through your life in ways that only God could work through your life. It's like what Paul said in writing to the Corinthians when he said, we're ambassadors for Christ as though God himself were pleading through us for men to be reconciled. What an experience that must be to serve the Lord. What joy. Why do you suppose we get up here on a regular basis and do announcements? Because we have nothing else to talk about? No, there's a reason. Why is it that we encourage you to serve the Lord either in this body or out in the community? What, is there just such a desperate need that we just can't do anything apart from you? No, we want you to experience the joy of serving the Lord. Some people don't experience the joy of the Lord because they never really serve the Lord in any capacity. Listen, serve the Lord here, serve the Lord somewhere, but do something for the kingdom of God and that you might be able to experience the joy of the Lord. Listen, even the non-believer knows a little bit about this, doing something for somebody else. You remember that TV show? I don't know if it's still on, but I remember when it first came out, Extreme Home Makeover. You know how you used to watch that? Maybe you didn't, but nonetheless, when you would watch it, move the bus and you'd weep and think, oh, and there's a number of reasons why you're weeping. One, you wish that was your crib. The other thing is you wish that, you know, you really were excited about the people being blessed. But the thing is, as the music played and everybody's hugging and loving on each other, all those construction workers, they're not necessarily born again. They're weeping and crying. They're feeling something inside of them because they're outside of themselves. Think about doing something for the glory of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you talk about joy and elation. Nothing compares to it. Are you experiencing the joy of the Lord? Are you serving the Lord? I believe that those two are connected to one another. Joy is not only found in serving Jesus, but another place that joy is found. Number two, joy is found in experiencing victory over the enemy. Oh, I love this. It says, notice in verse 18, and he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. As the 70 come back, they tell Jesus what they saw. They saw demons being removed out of people's lives. Jesus then tells them what he saw. He saw more than what they saw. He saw Satan falling quickly like lightning. There are varying opinions as to what Jesus was referring to when he declared he saw Satan falling like lightning. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 14 that the enemy has fallen. It says, how you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, O son of the dawn, how you have been cut down to the earth, you who weaken the nations. It's a reference to the fall of Satan. The Bible gives us at least four indications of various fallings of the devil. For example, Ezekiel chapter 28. Verses 14 through 16, it talks about the devil falling from a place of being glorified as an angel to being profane. It also tells us in Job chapter 1, 1 Kings 22, as well as Revelation chapter 12, that the devil fell from having access to heaven to now being subject to the restriction upon the earth. The Bible also tells us in Revelation chapter 20 that eventually the devil will be taken from the earth to a place called a bottomless pit where he will be bound for 1,000 years during the millennial reign of Christ. And ultimately, he will fall from that place to the lake of fire and be destroyed forever. Praise God, looking forward to that day. Revelation 20 verse 10 tells us. It would seem here, though, that when Jesus speaks of Satan falling, he is referring to the first fall, that from being glorified to profane. The 70 disciples saw victory in a battle, but Jesus saw the ultimate victory in the war against the devil. Satan had already lost his position of power. He is a conquered foe. And when we go out and act in the name of Jesus, victory is assured. We know from Scripture that the devil was created. He was formerly known as Lucifer before he was removed because of his pride, removed from heaven. Revelation 12 tells us that a third of the angels were taken with him. They are known as demons, fallen angels. He is referred to as the serpent, the father of lies, the accuser of brethren, a roaring lion. He seeks to rob, kill, and ultimately destroy people's lives. He is called the prince of the power of the air, the ruler of this world, the god of this age. And as such, he has caused many to be in spiritual blindness to the truth of God's word, as well as in bondage to their own lusts. And so the 70 going out in an evangelistic effort, or anytime any of us go out in an evangelistic effort of sharing our faith or some missionary venture, or some radio broadcast, or whatever means God gives us to use for the furtherance of the gospel, we engage in a spiritual conflict. And when someone comes to faith in Christ, it is as if they have been rescued from those who held them captive. From time to time, we hear in the news of our men and women serving in harm's way who have been captured, taken behind enemy lines. And then we hear of others who assemble teams and they plan rescue missions to deliver them out of the clutches of the enemy. And in a real sense, guys, in this spiritual conflict, in this spiritual war that we're in, it's as if we are rushing into a fortress known as the kingdom of darkness, and we are rescuing people from the clutches of the devil. And we are opening their eyes to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they might receive the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in Christ. It's a radical mission that we're on, to deliver people from the power of darkness and convey them into the kingdom of the Son of His love. But here's the good news, and here's where joy is found. Every time that we are confronted by the adversary, Jesus tells us here, we have power and authority in His name over scorpions, over serpents, over all, He says, the power of the enemy. When Jesus talks about scorpions and serpents, it is used metaphorically to describe demonic spirits and that which is evil. It is a representation of the principalities and powers that we battle. We know Satan is viewed as a serpent. We know from Revelation chapter 9 that demons during the tribulation period are referred to as having tails like scorpions and a king over them, who is the king of scorpions. Joy is found in knowing that you have victory over the enemy. I can't tell you how much my heart rejoices today, for the language that is used here implies a permanent dominance, right, and authority to tread upon all the powers of evil. The sovereign and divine Lord has given us permanently His own power, His own dominance, His own right to tread upon the powers of the enemy. Ladies and gentlemen, although we have an adversary, he's been defeated by Jesus on the cross. Amen? It's a blessing. The Bible says that when Jesus went to the cross and died for the sins of the world, Colossians makes it clear in chapter 2, verse 15, that He has disarmed principalities and powers. He has made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. That is, in His cross, in His death. Furthermore, in the book of Ephesians, when you talk about the resurrection of Jesus, which only further established His power and authority, Paul said this, "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe? According to His mighty power, which He has worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand of heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. He has put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things, the church." I say amen to that. Praise God. Jesus told His disciples if the church was built upon Him, that the gates of hell itself could not prevail against the church. The weapons of our warfare, guys, are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in this world. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against him. The Bible says, resist the devil steadfastly and he will flee. The battle is the Lord's. You have the victory. We've overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, not having loved our lives unto death. Oh, there's joy. When the enemy is defeated, when you have victory in your life over the powers of darkness, there's joy in serving the Lord. There's a tremendous joy in seeing victory over the enemy. But thirdly, there is joy in our salvation. For we read in verse 20, "Nevertheless, Jesus says, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven." As exhilarating as it must have been to serve the Lord and to experience the power of Jesus in victory over the enemy, Jesus quickly reminds His disciples of one joy that supersedes all others, our salvation in Christ, guys, that our names are written in heaven. The greatest joy that I can have, the ultimate source of my joy, is not in what I can do for Jesus, but what in Jesus has done for me. Don't limit, in other words, your joy to that which is temporary. Oh, it's great that the spirits are subject to you. Oh, it's great that God is working in and through the ministry that you're involved with. But greater still is the fact that you get to enjoy God forever. That you're going to look upon His face and you're going to see Him and His name is going to be upon your forehead and you're going to walk the streets of gold and you're going to hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You talk about the joy of the Lord. Joy in your salvation is enough. I marvel sometimes at people that just bummed out Christians, man. just always bummed out. No, my life stinks. I really stink. My life stinks. Do you have any joy? No, I don't have any joy. Are you saved? Yes. You should be too. I don't know that I want to be. If this is what it produces, a joyless Christianity, I don't know that that's something I want to be a part of. And I don't know that that's something that Jesus gave unto us. We ought to rejoice in things that are temporary, but understand they're only temporary. Our names are recorded in heaven, and we are on our way to heaven. If you say you're struggling with having joy today, if you're born again, you ought to be rejoicing. I find great joy in my salvation because I was lost and now I'm found. I was dead in trespasses and sins. I am now alive in God. I was once a slave to my own lusts and bondage to my own sin, but now I'm a free man. Jesus loved me. He died for me. He made a way for me to be saved from wrath and judgment that I deserved by taking my place. And now I'm a new creation in Christ. I am forgiven of my sin. My guilt is taken away. I have the hope of heaven. I have the word of God to guide me. I have the spirit of God to empower me. I have been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. I'm saved. I'm saved. I have joy in my salvation. The psalmist, you remember in Psalm 51, he prayed and he said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. It's wonderful that demons were cast out and that exceeded their expectations, but be joyful that your names are written in heaven. I wonder if today you have the confidence that you're on your way to heaven, that you have the absolute assurance that when you leave this life, you're going to be in the presence of the Lord, not because of what you've done, but because of trusting in what Jesus has done as your Savior. You may say, I can't find joy. Well, joy is found in Jesus.
Never forget that, friend. Joy is found in Jesus and nowhere else. You've been listening to A Daily Walk with our pastor and teacher, John Randall. We're going through the New Testament right now. To get the CD that contains today's message for a cost of $5, go online to adailywalk.org. Or call us at 877-242-0828. That toll-free number once again, 877-242-0828. We also house our recent programs at adailywalk.org, and you'll find them on our mobile app as well. Do a search for Calvary South OC and download it for free today. At the beginning of a new year, it is a great time to commit to going through the Bible in a year. And we'd like to get a one-year Bible into your hands to help you in that endeavor for the year ahead. It's in the New Living Translation, large print, soft cover, thin line edition, and broken down into 365 daily readings. Take the challenge and go through the Bible in 2024. Request the one-year Bible when you call 877-242-0828. It's available for the cost of $12. Or go online to adailywalk.org. And please remember, it is your generosity that helps us present A Daily Walk on stations like this one all across the nation. As we deliver God's Word, lives are being impacted and people are being blessed. Your gifts help to make that all possible. No gift is too small to be used by God in great ways. Again, our number is 877-242-0828, or you can donate securely online at adailywalk.org. We're reminded on a continual basis that the Lord is doing great things through the radio and internet today, and maybe He's doing something amazing in your life. Well, we want to hear about it. Pastor John would be very encouraged by what you have to say. Write to us today by email at adailywalk@gmail.com. That's adailywalk@gmail.com. Let's return to Pastor John for one final point.
As the 70 are rejoicing, Luke shares now what no other gospel writer describes, the joy of Jesus. In verse 21, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. It'd be easy to read over that, by the way, without comment. But when it says that Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit, it literally means He was thrilled with joy. He was overjoyed with joy. It's the equivalent, it's the kind of joy when all that you hoped for, all that you dreamed of is realized. It's the joy of the end. It's the joy of fulfillment that Jesus is experiencing. Jesus found joy in seeing the 70 rejoice. He was joyful as they were experiencing victory. This was His joy. And here's another place I find joy. Not only in serving the Lord, not only in seeing power and victory over the devil, and also my salvation. But you know where I find joy this morning? I find joy in knowing that Jesus rejoices over me. Jesus rejoices over me. He rejoices over you. He loves you. How do I know that he rejoices over me? The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 62, verse 5, as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. Do you know that? Do you know that God takes pleasure in you? Do you know that God delights in you, loves you, is overjoyed by you? Sometimes we think we got to do so much to please God, not knowing that God is pleased with me.
We'll talk more about the joy that is in Jesus next time on A Daily Walk with Pastor John Randall. This is a presentation of Calvary South OC.